أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز اقتربت الساعة وقال الله عز وجل في مقام آخر ويسألونك عن الساعة صدق الله العظيم. All praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our most benevolent, most kind, most merciful and gracious Lord. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadiq and al-ameen, the one sent as rahmatan lil-alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and his family and his noble companions and all of the Muslims who follow sincerely in steadfastness in the footsteps of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah azza wa jal raise us all and resurrect us all on the day of Qiyamah beneath the flag of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam and enable us all to enter with him in Jannatul Firdaus al-A'la. Allahumma ameen. Over the last 2 to 3 weeks, alhamdulillah, we began a very important and sacred journey in which we attempted to understand then and now what Palestine was and what Palestine is currently from a geopolitical, from a social, from a cultural perspective, and how the scenario and the situation has changed and evolved from a historical, geographical and political perspective. And then last week we understood or attempted to understand the why and the how from a Islamic paradigm, Quranic lens on why these things are happening and how the Nasr, the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall come to us as Muslims. This gave us a spiritual boost in to teach us how we can strengthen our iman and strengthen our resolve. And today inshallah al-Aziz will come towards the culmination in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform us and we will learn of how things will be going forward. How things will be going forward, not just in the near future, not just in the distant future, but the future that is going to be leading us towards the last hour, towards the day of Qiyamah. So inshallah al-Aziz, today's session will be a culmination of all of those three particular elements that we've discussed thus far. So we begin with recognizing that first and foremost that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbul Alameen. He is the Lord of all of the worlds, and therefore everything is in His power, is His in dominion and His control, which is why we say Maliki Yawmiddin, the owner, the sovereign, the king of Yawmiddin, that very last day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also the one who is Alimul Ghaybi Wash-Shahada, the one who knows everything of the ghayb, everything of the unseen, the known and the unknown, everything of the apparent and the hidden is known by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're just doing something very quickly in terms of making sure we have the groundwork before we get into this particular topic. And we also know that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as shahidan wa mubashiran wa nazira, as a shahid, as a witness unto us in our current state, and also giving testimony and shahada to what will come towards the end of times as well. He is the one who is giving bashara, giving us glad tidings. If you do such and such, this is the reward of such and such, and this is how you can enter into Jannah. And he's also the one, wa nadhira, giving us warnings as well, very clear, very explicit and stern warnings on how to avoid the pitfalls of the darkness of the dunya, the whispers of the shaitan, and most importantly, how to avoid falling into the fire of Jahannam. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller and overseer of every single thing, and the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has been sent to inform and guide us. And many of us at this particular point forget perhaps that the name of, the title of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is Nabi, which what we call as Prophet. But Nabi in the Arabic language, its root letter actually comes from Naba, somebody who informs what? Informs of the future, informs of the unseen by the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he came to inform us of the past and also of the present and also of the future. And this leads us to the third thing, which is the important thing which relates to us, because Allah and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam are all trying to teach us something. And us as Muslims is that الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This is what we recite in Surah Al-Baqarah. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And then وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ. So Mu'mins are those, Muslims are those who believe in Allah, who believe that He is Rabbul Alameen. We believe that He is the owner of Maliki Yawmiddin, the last day, the final day. And He is the knower of unseen and knower of everything. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has been sent to inform us of all of these things. And we are the ones, we believe in the unseen, even though we cannot see the future. We cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot even physically see even now the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But our iman dictates that we still believe in the ghayb. وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And in the akhirah, in the hereafter, and in the thing, in the time that will lead towards the hereafter, we are absolutely resolute and firm in our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we are, inshallah, talking about moving forward, and this all connects to the signs of Qiyamah. And for those of us who remember coming to the madrasa or going to the masjid, we will have learnt an important part of our iman where we say, Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala وَالْبَعَثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. These are the seven articles of faith. These are part and parcel of our iman and what we believe in, the core of our aqidah, of our doctrine. That in the center is that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also believe in the unseen and the unknown, which are the angels. They can come in different forms. We believe in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the time of Adam alayhi salam up until the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yes, we only follow solely the Quran, the last kalam of Allah azza wa jal. We believe in the messengers and all of the messages that came, which was the same message to believe in the oneness of Allah azza wa jal. And then the important part for today's topic, which is we believe in the last day, the day of Qiyamah and the last hour. It all part and parcel of that particular belief. And we believe in Qadr, that everything good, everything that is bad, everything is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been given us to us in our particular portion. You will have a certain portion of goodness, you'll have a certain portion of difficulty, of hardship in your life, but everything good and bad, min Allah ta'ala, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just like previously in our last session and today again, if we go back to our roots and our foundations and our basics, everything will reassure us and comfort us and guide us on how we should react and how we should behave. And our iman here is telling us that everything is by the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final bit, which is وَالْبَعَثِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, we believe in the resurrection, in the return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is applicable to us as it is applicable to all of the Muslims in Gaza, in Palestine, their yaqeen and iman in Allah, and Him knowing the unseen and the unknown. They believe in the angels, they believe in the books and the messengers and the last day, and they know that they will get their day to stand in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. They know that everything that is coming in their lives, in terms of trials and tribulations, suffering and loss, whatever it may be, it is a test from Allah Azza wa Jal to see how they react. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn is actually only purifying them. And they believe in the last day when they will be resurrected and they will all return back to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the background of our discussion and our topic here today, the signs of Qiyamah, but also how we need to move forward, because everything that is happening so far, that has happened before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and has happened since 1400 years post the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what is currently happening now and what shall continue to happen up until the day of Qiyamah, is all part and parcel of this plan this nizam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set in motion. So for us, we don't really fear anything because we know that everything comes from Allah, is in the control of Allah. We have been informed by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And as Muslims, no matter what is there, we are firm, we are resolute, and we are strong in our iman, in our belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. So coming on to the signs of Qiyamah and how we actually need to understand this in relation to Palestine in Gaza and also the many other incidences that will take place. First question that we need to ask ourselves is, how prepared are you? Somebody tells you there's a storm coming. Somebody tells you there's going to be a snowstorm. There's going to be a tornado. There's going to be, you know, a cut in electricity or water or any of these other things. Rather than ask the nitty-gritty of what time, what location, and how will it be, and how strong will the storm be, and all of these other circumstances around it, what you need to really ask yourselves is, how prepared are you for the storm? What have you prepared for the blackout? What have you prepared for the loss of electricity or gas or water? What have you prepared for this particular scenario, rather than ask about the nitty-gritty? So as Muslims, we know the last hour is very, very close, because Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةِ, that the sa'ah, the hour, is extremely close and getting closer and closer. And the other people used to ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when is the sa'ah, the last hour? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them that it's very, very close and it's coming. So we all know it's coming. We all know that this is something which is inevitable. Rather than worry about, oh, this is happening and now this is happening, we should ask ourselves, what are we actually doing about that particular time that may come in our lifetime, it may come in the lifetime of future generations. So the Sahaba Ikram once asked the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, when is the last hour? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, rather than go into the finer details of what we try to do, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in turn just asked him, what have you actually prepared for the last hour? Don't worry about when it will come, how it will come, worry about whether you are prepared for it or not. And going back to Muslims in Palestine, in Gaza, they are prepared for it. They are always prepared for their return and the last hour back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to come to one of the hadith which connects to this particular incident, which is the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned to the Sahaba ikram that even if the last hour is right above your head, so it's about to start and you can see the trumpet is about to be blown or the sun is right over your head and now it's the day of complete destruction and annihilation, even at that very last moment, if you have a seed in your hand and you are able to plant that seed, you should still go ahead and plant that seed. Which is teaching us a very important lesson, that if you are able to do good, always do that good that is within your power, no matter how little, how small it may be. So for Muslims as well in Gaza, and also for Muslims here in the UK and everywhere else throughout the world, they are talking about, oh, this is the last hour now, Qiyamah is coming now, look at what's happening in Jerusalem, and look at what's happening in Palestine and so many other signs throughout the world, Qiyamah is here, Qiyamah is here, the hour is here. Rather than worry about the how and the why and the when, we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing to prepare for it? And what good are you doing? Whatever good you are able to do, helping other people, your neighbors, your family, spreading Islam, planting a seed, doing anything beneficial, if you are able to do that, do whatever good you can and never despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quds, Al-Quds, which is Palestine, which is Jerusalem, this has been destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning of time towards the end of time. And no matter what happens, people, true believers and righteous believers, will continue in their journey and in their migration towards Al-Quds. So don't despair and think this is what they've done to the West Bank, this is what they are doing to Gaza, this is what they have done to all of Palestine. No, the Prophet ﷺ has promised that people will continue to migrate and continue to go towards Al-Quds, and they will continue to strive and do jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that this is not just a battle for 2023 or 2024 or this century. This is something that will continue towards the end of time. So this is why the message Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions there will be a migration, nation after nation, generation after generation of true believers who will never stop until the end of time in relation to Al-Quds. So we may not see that in our generation. Perhaps it will be in our children or their generation or the future generations, but what we do know is that this striving and this struggle, this jihad, will continue until the end of time. But in all of this, again, we need to ask ourselves, what are we actually waiting for? You can't just sit at home and say, that's it, Qiyamah is coming. You can't just give up and say, that's it, I'm ready to, you know, forsake everything in the dunya and that's it, leave it, hun Qiyamah, ya Qiyamah, I know. You need to ask yourself, what are you doing? Who do you want to be with? Who are you currently with? And what are you preparing for this particular moment that is getting closer and closer in your life? And how, more importantly, are you preparing your children? You know, the greatest failure of a parent is when they fail in preparing their children for their death. Nobody really wants to talk to their children about their death, that they will die X, Y, and Z. But no, if you want your children to truly be grounded, constantly talk about death and remind them that you belong to Allah, you will return to Allah, and remind them how you are preparing for your return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want your children to succeed and our future Muslim generation to succeed, talk about death in a positive way. Talk about your return. Talk about the last hour so that they are informed about exactly what is coming, the doom or the inevitability of everything that is happening. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam in this regard gave a very, very beautiful visual explanation of how we can understand or visualize the last day. And you can see there above me, there's tasbih there, there's some beads there. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned that when you cut the tasbih, when you cut, you know, the string, then all of the beads don't just fall out in different directions. One bead has to follow the next bead. So one bead comes out, then the next, and the next, and the next, until it gets all the way to the end. So don't get overwhelmed, you know, by, oh, this is happening, and all these different beads. Don't focus on all of the different beads. Know that everything will happen in succession. One bead will follow the other, and the other, and the other, and they will increase in their severity until we get to the last bead, which will be the bead just before the trumpet is blown and just before the day of Qiyamah. So which bead are we on? Are we in the beginning? Are we in the middle? Are we towards the end? Inshallah, Al-Aziz will be able to shed some light upon that today, inshallah. The believers, what we need to understand, Muslims throughout the world, we will gather again in Quds. We will gather again in strength, in piety, in Palestine, in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Syria, and in Turkey. And this has been foretold and prophesied by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, who, as I mentioned at the beginning, he is as-sadiq and al-ameen. He is the one who has come and he's informed us by the izn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know this, and everything that he has said has and shall will come true. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he has informed us that we will gather in great strength and number and in righteousness and piety, whether it's our generation, which seems unlikely the way that we see the state of our affairs throughout the world, but there will come a time that believers will be strong in Al-Quds, they will be strong in Jordan, they will be strong in Lebanon, in Syria, and in Turkey, and the caliphate, the khilafah, will return, and it will not return in Mecca or in Medina or in Baghdad or in Europe or in anywhere else in the world. The caliphate, the khilafah, will return in Palestine, and Jerusalem will be the capital. This is our aqidah, this is our iman, this is our belief. So in spite of all of the calamities that we see before us, and we feel like there is no hope left, and everybody will be thrown out or killed, etc. No, we know, and our iman is in Allah, our iman is in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, our iman is in the Quran and Sunnah, and we know that Islam will prevail and Muslims will prevail. The Khilafah will return, and it will be there in the capital of Jerusalem. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an indication in the Quran, in Surah Bani Israel, Surah Al-Isra Al-Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember last week I talked about how Allah azza wa jal informed Bani Israel that you will have two opportunities to reach great heights in the dunya. وَقَدَيْنَا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ فِي الْكِتَابِ لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَّتَيْنِ وَلَتَعْلُنَّ أُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. That you will do great facade, great corruption, you will spill great bloodshed throughout the world on two occasions. And you will also have reached great heights on two occasions. They reached one height before they were completely destroyed by the Roman Empire and the Babylonian, etc. And they reached great heights before that. And now this is the second time that they are reaching great heights. If you look at all of the major companies throughout the world, their sources and their roots go back to Israel at this moment in time. If you look at the influence that they have and the control on the media, on the financial district, and the economy, and the governments, and everywhere else in the world, it is all there. This is them having this control, this power and might. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how they will have lots of children and lots of power and lots of influence on this second occasion. But then after the second occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse mentions, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ الْآخِرَةِ لِيَسُوءُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَلِيَدْخُلُوا الْمَسْجِدَ كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةِ وَلِيُتَبِّرُوا مَا عَلَوْ تَتْبِيرًا. So when the second promise comes, they've had this first promise, and they've received that reward and everything that are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the second promise comes from Allah azza wa jal, we will raise another people, another true ummah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they may bring you to grief. And they will enter the masjid as they entered it the first time. As we entered it by Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, as we entered it in the Salahuddin Ayyubi, we will enter it again a second time. Who is promising this? Who is foretelling us this, the future? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second time will come and we will enter into Masjid al-Aqsa just the way we entered it the first time. And they might destroy whatever they gained, everything that they gained, the people of Israel, Bani Israel, they will... everything will become to utter destruction and they will lose all of this. And this is a wa'ada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah azza wa jal has promised us this. And we know whether it's in this generation or future generations to come, the khilafah will return, triumph and success will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us a very, very important, five bullet points on how the khilafah will actually be. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that prophethood will come to you and it will remain for however long Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. And it came to us because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came to us. But then it ended when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that first leadership in humanity for Islam and Muslims came and it went. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that the Khilafah Rashida, the righteous Khilafah will also come to you, which is Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar, Usman, Ali, Hassan, Hussein, all the way to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala, all of these Sahaba ikram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this will come to you as well, the Khilafah Rashida, but then that will also diminish as well. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the third leadership will be of the monarchies. And we saw this in the Umayyads, in the Abbasids, and in the Ottoman Empire. This became like monarchies, it became like dynasties, where the people just gave it to their sons, or to their daughters, or to their cousin, family members, and it moved away from the Khilafah Rashida. This has also come, is also gone as well, because the Ottoman Empire is no longer there. Then the Prophet ﷺ said the fourth leadership in humanity and civilization will be tyrannical civilization, despots, dictatorships, and turmoils. And this is what we see now. What did we see, for the last century or so in the Middle East? What have we seen with colonialism? What have we seen with imperialism? What have we seen throughout the world? These monarchies, these people, and now people are ruling by fear, by war, by threats, by sanctions, and so many other things, and you can't talk against any person. This is the current climate that we are in, and this is the current stage of leadership that we are in between the third and the fourth. We are moving away, perhaps, and moving from the third into the fourth, or perhaps fourth now, moving to the fifth. But we can see here, then the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam also gave us the fifth leadership for the ummah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasallam. He said, then the Khilafa Rashida, the righteous caliphate, will re-emerge. Muslims will regain their honor and their izzah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this will come, in 100 years, in 1,000 years, in 5,000 years, 10,000 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But we do know that it will come. This is certain for us as Muslims. And it's not about when it will come, it's about what have we prepared. And what are we preparing? Are you preparing your heart and your iman and your soul and your actions? Are you preparing your children and their mind and their future and making sure that they are ready for any situation that may arise in their lifetime, and they are steadfast no matter what the situation is? Why? Because the third or the fourth that we are in now, it will only get worse and worse and worse and worse. Only increase. Don't think that this country will remain our country. We will inevitably, believe me, be kicked out of here as well. They'll say, go back to your own countries. Why do you think the Prophet ﷺ said, the Muslims will be there in Quds, they will be there in Jordan, they'll be there in Syria? Why did he not mention the rest of the world? Why specifically here? Because this is not really our home. Because all of these people will come together and they will say, tusi jao, tusi niklo, you're not part of us. This is where our strength and unity will inshallah al-aziz come. But the Khilafa Rashida, the fifth leadership, will come inshallah al-aziz, and it will re-emerge. But how will it re-emerge? This is something that we need to understand. The first thing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us an indication to is that he mentions in the beautiful hadith that tusalihuna ar-rum, that what will you do? What will the Muslim civilization or the Muslim caliphate do, or the empire at that time do? They will have a sulh, they will have a peace treaty with Rome. And the reason why the Prophet ﷺ mentions Rome, because Rome encompassed Christianity, it encompassed Judaism as well, it encompassed all of the other paganistic religions and faiths at that time, because the Roman Empire was so vast. So this is why Rome is mentioned. The Prophet ﷺ here is clearly demarcating the Muslim world versus the non-Muslim world or the Christian world. So the Prophet ﷺ mentions there will come a time where you will have a peace treaty. So the Romans, everything that you see in green is a hadith mentioned by the Prophet, either Bukhari or Muslim, and the other books of a hadith. So the Romans will enter a peace treaty with you, and you and they will fight together a common enemy. This is what the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is. Who is that common enemy? You know, it could be the new emerging world, you know, powers. Maybe in the Middle East, maybe in the Far East, maybe somewhere else. But anyhow, what we do know is that the Romans will enter a peace treaty with the Muslims, and both of the Muslims and the Roman Empire will together fight a common enemy, and you will be victorious collectively, and we will collect the spoils of war, and we will be safe, and we will come back from the war, and we'll go to a meadow which will have many hillocks, you know, up and down hillocks. And then what will happen at that particular time? The Prophet ﷺ mentions that a man from amongst the Roman Empire, either Christians, etc., he will raise the cross and he will say that the cross has prevailed. We have achieved victory because of the cross. And then a man amongst the Muslims will be angry. Then he will go and he will break the cross. And as a result of that, then the Romans will prove to be treacherous, and they will break the treaty, and they will gather for a very, very fierce battle. So this battle has not yet come, because Muslims are scattered all over the world. So we have yet to coalesce, we have yet to unite, we have yet to be under one banner. And this situation has yet to arise where the Romans, i.e. the Western world, will need the help of the Muslim world to fight a common enemy. Who will that enemy be, which will be out of control? Do you know, you watched all of these movies, when AI gets out of control, when Skynet gets out of control, when all of these other things, all humanity gets together to fight this common enemy. This is not just a movie or a dream, this is a reality that will inevitably come to us. This is yet to come. And the Prophet ﷺ furthermore explains, he says, then the Romans will have a fierce battle with you all, so intense that you will see flying objects falling from the sky. Subhanallah. What are these flying objects? At that time, whoever imagined aeroplanes, whoever imagined fighter jets, whoever imagined atomic bombs or missiles, but this is what the Prophet ﷺ is saying, is foretelling us, the Romans will have a fierce battle with you. So intense, you will see flying objects falling from the sky. So this is something that will happen as we leave potentially towards Armageddon. It will lead toward the end of times. When this particular scenario occurs in the lifetime of this Muslim nation or the Muslim Ummah versus the Roman Empire or the Western civilization, what will happen at that time? A group of Muslims will then come from Medina to help the Muslims who are there having this battle with the Romans. And what will the Romans do? They will go and they will try to meet these Muslims, and they will meet them at a certain place in Sham. In where Sham? Sham is Syria, which also includes Jordan, Lebanon, etc. So all this entire particular area. It was known as one particular block. So when the Muslims from Medina say, we need to go help our Muslim brothers, are having a fierce battle, atomic race and atomic bombs and so many other things are taking place, a third of the army of the Muslims will run away. And a third of the army will die as shuhada. And then the third remaining will be victorious over that entire Roman Empire or civilization. And then after that particular incident happens, the Muslims will take Constantinople, which is obviously in Rome today. And they will take it in peace after that particular scenario. Then and then the Dajjal will emerge. So up until then, you know, the halat and the situation have to increase in severity and have to get really, really bad before all of these situations actually occur. So if you look at this particular hadith versus the current climate in the Middle East or anywhere else, this actually hasn't occurred yet. So perhaps we are a long way off before the situation. So what this hadith actually indicates, that Imam Mahdi, the rightly guided leader, could be perhaps a general or could be a commander or the Khalifa at that time, who will be leading this particular group of Muslims from Medina, and they will be victorious over the Roman Empire, and they are the ones who will retake Constantinople in a peaceful way, and then and only then will the Dajjal emerge. So inshallah, now we'll actually look a little bit about who Imam Mahdi is. Imam Mahdi in the Arabic language is translated as the guided leader. So who is Imam Mahdi? First of all, his name is actually Muhammad, and he'll be the son of Abdullah. So again, his name connects back to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And his lineage, his bloodline goes all the way back to Sayyidah Fatimah al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha and to Imam Ali radiyallahu ta'ala and therefore it goes back to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And the way that he is described by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is that he will have a white forehead and he will have a thin nose, and he will fill the world with justice just the way that the world was filled with injustice. This is how he will come and how he will transform all of humanity and the world. And he will rule as a righteous Khalifa for 7 years. This is how long his Khilafat will be. For how many years? For 7 years. He will emerge at the age of 33, and for 7 years he will rule as the Khalifa, and peace will be scattered throughout the entire world due to Imam Mahdi's leadership. And this, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that because of his leadership and the Khilafa of Imam Mahdi, there'll be lots of vegetation and plant growth and immense wealth. And specifically he mentioned vegetation in Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is a barren land, mountains and mountains and deserts and desolate. By that time, all of those will turn green, and there'll be vegetation and plant growth and immense amount of wealth. There'll be huge economic stability and equality. Imam Mahdi, though, will not know that he is the Mahdi at that time, but it will be shown to the rest of humanity that he is actually Mahdi, and then he will take on that particular leadership control. Why? Because he will be going from Medina to Makkah. Do you know when this whole fighting takes place between the Roman Empire and the Muslim Empire, and then they obviously having this massive fight? So he will be going from Medina all the way to Makkah. But as he arrives in Makkah, the army, the Roman army, will be following him from the east. and they will be wanting to kill him at that time. But just as they reach Medina, which is the plains, the Prophet ﷺ mentions in the hadith, as they reach the plain ground, because the plain ground is in Medina, not in Makkah, and Makkah is very, very hilly. So as they reach the Medina, the land will swallow up the entire army, the Roman army. And this will be a sign to all of the people in Makkah that there is the general, there is the leader. His name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and he's from the line of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will have his forehead and the nose and other indications. And then because of the situation at that time, leaving from Medina to Makkah, and this entire situation unfolding, they will know that he is the Mahdi chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the Imam Mahdi will come, and how he will then become the leader, and he will become the Khalifa at that time. So all of these things have been foretold by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But up until that time comes, we can't just sit at home and say, you know, that's it, we've got nothing to do now, we just have to wait for the last hour. No, we have to continue to strive and to play our part in all of this particular scenario that is unfolding before us all. So Imam Mahdi, surprisingly, is not mentioned in the Quran. Neither is the Daddal actually mentioned in the Quran. So why is this? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us just to focus on Mahdi or just to focus on the Dajjal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to focus on the now and the present and what we need to do now rather than what we need to do in the future. As long as you prepare yourself now and your iman and you prepare your children, then whatever happens in the future, they will be informed and they'll know exactly what to do and how to behave. So right now, perhaps the Dajjal, obviously the Dajjal is not here, but we are living in a very, very Dajjal type of era and the time, even though it's not the Dajjal himself, because the influences of the Dajjal is all around us. So the setting I want you to understand, the setting is Al-Quds, okay? And the Khilafah will be an Al-Quds. And the three main characters are Imam Mahdi, Isa alayhi salam, and the Dajjal. So we come to the second main character in this particular scenario that will unfold in the future, which is Isa ibn Maryam, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, who is known in the Arabic tradition, in the Islamic tradition, as Masih al-Sadiq. Because for the Dajjal we say Masih al-Dajjal, the Dajjal. And for Isa alayhi salam we see Masih al-Sadiq. What does Masih mean? Masih means the savior in Arabic. But Ad-Dajjal, Dajjal comes from Dajjal, which means to deceive, to lie, to manipulate. So he's the false Messiah. But he will be claiming to be the true Messiah and the true Savior. But Masih al-Sadiq is the true Savior, which is Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, which is why he is mentioned there in the books of Ahadith as Masih al-Sadiq, which is Isa ibn Maryam. But look at how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam describes him. He mentions him in the Ahadith, كَيْفَ أَنْتُمْ إِذَا نَزَلَ عِيسَى ابْن مَرْيَمْ. That how will your state be, you know, when the son of Maryam will descend upon you while your imam is among you. I.e. the imam here is in relation to Imam Mahdi, and how your state will be, how happy you'll be, how you'll find your strength and your power when Isa al-Islam is there with you, when Imam Mahdi is there with you as well. You know, how happy will you be, because you'll know that now the Muslims inshallah will be victorious, and this is how the success will come from Allah Azza wa Jalla. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he gives very, very clear descriptions of Imam Mahdi, and he also gives very, very clear descriptions of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, that he will have a reddish white complexion, he will have long silky hair, and he will be extremely handsome. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, he will appear at the white minaret east of Damascus. This is what, you know, remember we spoke about Sham, Syria? Here, Damascus here is very, very clear when Isa alayhi salam and how Isa alayhi salam will descend from the heavens. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that his hands will be on top of two angels. So he'll be floating down from the heavens with an angel on his right and an angel on his left. And his hair will look extremely wet, even though it will not be wet. It will be glistening from the sun shining on the hair of Sayyidina Isa. I don't know how some people, when they have lots of tail on their hair, it shines. But this will be a natural shine and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His hair will be glistening. And when he lifts his head, pear-like droplets will fall from his hair. This is how beautiful and mesmerizing and handsome he will appear when he is descending from the heavens with two angels on his right and his left. His hair will be shining in all the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam and his return. And he mentions the hour, i.e. the last final hour, will not come until Isa alayhi salam, Masih, the son of Mary, will come until he descends, and then he will come and he will kill the pig. Because at this moment in time, other traditions believe that pig is fine to eat and they consume and they do it. It's a symbol of their faith and their religion. He will come and he will kill the pig. And he will break the cross, i.e. break the Trinity and the belief in the Trinity. And he will establish justice alongside Imam Mahdi. This is how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam describes Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam on his return, that he whose return brings back morality and true values of Islam. But when he returns, he will not come as a leader of the Muslims or Islam, but rather he'll become as a follower of Islam, and he'll be following Imam Mahdi, because Nabuwa is been sealed and completed with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you remember the verse of the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to all of the prophets, وَإِذَا خَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِسْرِي. That Allah took a covenant from all of the prophets and messengers, that when my final prophet messenger comes to you, what will you do? And they said, we will aid him, we will support him, we will honor him, and we will follow him. So all Isa alayhi salam, when he comes, he will come as a follower of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Mahdi, how does he emerge? He emerges just after this great war. And after Imam Mahdi emerges, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam will also emerge, because the Dajjal will have appeared on earth. So everything is in succession. That great war between the Muslims and the Roman Empire, Imam Mahdi becomes the Khalifa, Dajjal then appears. After the Dajjal's appearance, then Isa alayhi salam comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he comes, the stage, what stage, what pivotal arena that has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chosen? The fight will not take place in Makkah, it will not take place in Medina. The final fight will take place in Masjid al-Aqsa, it will take place in Jerusalem, it will take place in Al-Quds, in Palestine. So the fight will happen there. Imam Mahdi will be leading the army of the believers alongside Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So this is just a very, very quick background on Imam Mahdi, and a quick background and a preview on Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. So what is the whole difference between the Jewish belief, the Christianity belief, and the Islamic belief? Well, Jews believe that the Messiah will also return. That they believe just generally the Savior, the final Savior, will return, and they are waiting for him. And they want him to return so that they can build the third temple of Solomon. This is what they want to do, because as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam complete kingship and dominion over the entire earth, and he ruled the entire earth from here, from the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. So what the Jews want to do is rebuild that so that they can have complete control and dominion over the entire world. So they're waiting for their Messiah, they're waiting for their Savior to come, and they will build the temple with him, and then they want to rule over the entire world and be the greatest race. This is what their objective is, because already the first two temples have been destroyed by the Romans, and the temples have been destroyed by the Babylonians already in the history. So this is what they are waiting for. They want to have control over Palestine, over Jerusalem, and then they are waiting for him, because they know in their belief, in their Aqidah, that until all of this area is not free and pure of Muslims and Christians and everyone else, the Messiah will not return. So can you see how it plays into their Aqid? That we have to get rid of everybody, we have to control everything, and then the Messiah will come, and then he will build the Temple of Solomon with us, and then we will be the greatest nation on all of the face of the earth. So this is their aqid. But if you look at the ultra-Orthodox Jews, they don't actually enter into Jerusalem. Why? Because they know that until the Messiah doesn't come, they're not allowed to return back into Jerusalem, because they have been told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِهْبِتُوا مِصْرًا فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مَا سَأَلْتُمْ, that go, and you go wandering the earth for the rest of time until the Savior comes. So for them, obviously, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, they don't actually enter. But with the other types of Jews that we do have in Palestine at this moment in time is the political Zionists, who believe Zion is the home, the sacred home, the promised land. This is where Zion comes from. For those of you who watch Matrix, Zion, they mention this in references quite a lot, and other movies as well. Zion, which means the promised land, and this is the promised land for the Jews, and they want to gain it and control it and to await the final Messiah. So there is political Zionists there for political reasons. There's a lot of religious Zionists there as well, but there's also Christian Zionism as well. And you might be thinking, well, why do you need to have Christian Zionists? Why? Because the way that Israel wants the return of the Messiah, Christianity also, they are awaiting the Messiah as well, which in their mind, they believe that it is Jesus, peace be upon him, that he will come, and then Christianity will prevail all over the world. Thus, they also support the Zionist movement as well, because they know one of the Avinavis Hadavi, you know, so this all, you see, there's this old, vacuum, power vacuum, where everybody wants to control or to be in control or be part and parcel of this particular scenario, where they're trying to rebuild or control for their Messiah to come, whether it's the Christian Messiah or whether it's the Jewish Messiah. But for us, we know from our aqidah, our perspective, that Isa al-Islam will return as a follower of the Ummah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this very explicitly in the Quran. وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. That indeed, Isa alayhi salam's second coming, because he was raised by Allah Azza wa Jalla. That was his first coming when he lived amongst the Jews, and the Christianity came after him, but he lived amongst the Jews when they tried to obviously kill him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the second coming of Isa alayhi salam will be a sign of the knowledge that the hour now is extremely clear. So do not be in doubt of it, and follow me, i.e. the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that the Messiah, Isa alayhi salam, will come, but we know that he will come under the leadership of Imam Mahdi, and what his objective and rule will be at that particular time. So Isa alayhi salam is Masih as-Sadiq, the true Messiah. After he descends, then he will enter into the masjid. You know the verse I mentioned, لَتَدْخُلُ the masjidah, كَمَا دَخَلُوهُ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ, you will enter into the masjid as you did the first time, you will do it the second time. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, that Isa alayhi salam will enter into Bayt al-Maqdis. Imam Mahdi will be there. So what does that mean? It means that at that particular time, under the leadership of Imam Mahdi, under the leadership of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, there will be no more authority, there will be no more control of the Jews or political Zionism or religious Zionism or anything else. Again, Palestine one day, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, one day, inshallah al-Aziz, under the true Khilafah of Imam Mahdi and under the leadership of Imam Isa alayhi salam, will return back to the Ummah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Khilafah will be in Palestine, and Jerusalem will be the capital. So Isa alayhi salam will enter the masjid as told to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And there, this is the first time that he will see Imam Mahdi. So remember, Imam Mahdi, he left Medina going to Mecca, and the incident happens where the earth swallows the army of the Romans. He becomes Imam Mahdi, and he becomes the Khalifa. Everybody takes the bay'ah under the Khalifa, and then he begins the Islamic Khilafah, and then Islam spreads and everything else, and then Muslims take over Constantinople, Muslims take over, and then they are control of Palestine again, and the capital is in Jerusalem, and Imam Mahdi is there. But Isa al-Islam now has come from the heavens, because Dajjal has also emerged. He has been released, and now he is causing complete havoc and destruction throughout the world. So Isa al-Islam has been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Isa al-Islam sees Imam Mahdi for the first time, look at how much detail we have been given by Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Mahdi will be praying, and he will realize that Isa alayhi salam has arrived. So Imam Mahdi will try to go back in the Salah. He will try to come back and he will try to ask Isa a.s. to pray and lead. Why? Ultimately, he's still a Muslim. He's still a human being and he is a prophet. He is a messenger. He is a Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of adab, out of honor, ihtaram, waqar, reverence, and out of his true position. But Imam Mahdi will go back. But Isa a.s. will say no. He will refuse and he will say, stay, for every nation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with their own leaders. And he is the leader of the Islamic nation, of the Islamic empire, of the Islamic ummah. So there again we learn that Isa alayhi salam is not there to put Christianity at the front, but he is there as a follower of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that point Isa alayhi salam will pray behind Imam Mahdi, and he will follow Islam, and he will follow the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when the Prophet alayhi wasallam was describing all of this particular scenario, you know, look at how he followed it with another comment by himself. He said, "By Allah, wallazi nafsi biyadi, by Allah who has my soul in His hand. If Musa alayhi salam was here today, even he would not do anything except follow me." This is what the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said regarding Musa alayhi salam, and vis-a-vis this is also applicable to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. Hence why when he is there and Imam Mahdi is leading the salah, he will pray behind Imam Mahdi, and then he works with Imam Mahdi to defend Islam and defend the Muslims and defend obviously the Bayt al-Maqdis as well from the Dajjal. So then we come to the Dajjal. Remember, because we've got three people that we need to focus on: Imam Mahdi, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and then we have the Dajjal himself. And as I mentioned, Dajjal comes from Dajjal, to lie, to deceive, to confuse people. And if you look at the time that we're living in, is very much a Dajjali time, where people, we can't tell the difference between a deep fake video and a real video, or the audio of somebody who said something, or something that's been made up. You can't tell now with AI, you can't tell with so many things that people on media control the media, manipulate everything. Nothing really, we can't really tell who is truthful and who is obviously lying to us. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself mentions there'll be years and years of betrayal and of lie, of trickery, and the truthful person will be classified as a jhuta. And this is what we see now. Whoever speaks the truth, they say he's a liar, he's deceiving you. And the person who is lying, he will be believed. So it will be complete opposite of what the reality is. And now we see it on media, we see it in our societies. Whoever lies the most, they have the greatest position, the greatest power and the greatest authority, and everybody believes them. And whoever tries to speak up, then they are shot down and nobody believes them, and they are labeled as liars and deceivers and everything else. And the betrayer will be given the trust, and the one who is trustworthy, nobody will trust them with anything. And you can see now, the moment that we're living in, this is the Dajjali times that we are living in, where it's an opposite side, where Prophet ﷺ came and he was Sadiq and Al-Amin, the most truthful and the most trustworthy, and we were supposed to lead that. But now the society and the world that we live in, just ask yourself, in your workplaces, within your homes, within our communities, how much we lie. And we know who are the liars, we know the people that we can't trust, but in spite of that, look at our MPs, look at our MNAs in Pakistan and other countries, we still vote for them. We still say, "Tusi sachio, tusi chengio," and we give you the trust of an entire country, of an entire treasury, of entire everything. We give it to you. And we see this going on within our homes, within our society. So the Dajjal, his system is here, and people are following his system. But he will come when the system is at its peak, right at the top, and then this is when he will emerge. And for this, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has told us to do two things at least. One is every Friday, recite Surah Al-Kahf, memorize Surah Al-Kahf, understand and implement Surah Al-Kahf, because it will protect you from the fitna of the last time, and especially protect you from Dajjal. And also he taught this particular hadith, Allahumma inni, this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min a'adhabi al-qabr, wa min a'adhabi jahannam, wa min fitnatil mahya wal mamad, wa min sharri fitnatil masih al-dajjal. That, oh Allah, I seek your protection from the punishment of the grave, from the punishment of jahannam, from everything alive and everything that is dead, and from the shar, from the evil and the fitna and the trial and tribulation of Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal. Masih Ad-Dajjal means what? The false Messiah. The false Messiah, which is the Dajjal that we will talk about. From the picture there, you can see that how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has described the Dajjal. This is how pretty much the depiction is of the Dajjal. So the Dajjal, what does it mean in Arabic? It means the lying and the false Messiah. Because Isa alayhi salam will be the true Messiah, and Imam Mahdi will be the true leader of the Muslim Ummah. The Dajjal will be claiming to be the true Messiah, but he will be actually the false. And he will say, I am your Messiah, I am your Savior, come and follow me. And then after people follow him and believe that he is the Messiah, the next step that he will say, I am your God, follow me and worship me. So people will believe him, people will follow him, and people will worship him as well. Some people might say, well, if you have so many ahadith of the Dajjal, and you know exactly what he will look like, one of his eyes will be completely closed off like a grape, bulging grape, and it will be hazy like he's got a cataract, and it will be completely grey. He will not be able to see from one eye. And the other eye, that he will have a piece of flesh from the corner going all the way to the side of his nose, and he'll be able to see very, very little. And he will be very, very short, and many, many descriptions. If Muslims know all about this, why will still Muslims follow him? Well, the answer to that is very simple. Muslims know alcohol is haram. Muslims know interest is haram. Muslims know zina is haram. But how many Muslims are still doing it? Just because you know something, it doesn't mean that it stops you from doing it. People may know all of the signs and all of the descriptions of the Dajjal, because their iman is weak or their iman is not true, they will end up following the Dajjal and considering him to be God, considering him to be the true Savior, in spite of knowing and seeing all of these signs. So it's not just about learning about the Dajjal, it's about protecting yourself and making you sure that you stay away from the Dajjal. So who is the Dajjal? What will he actually do? He will travel the entire earth. So he will be unlike any other human. He will be this very, very powerful human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have given extra powers to. And if you look at the way that society is going, and Elon Musk is putting implants in the back of the brain, and the way that we are increasing in technology and bionic arms and AI and so many other things, it's not difficult to imagine in a future where people will be able to travel from continent to continent within hours rather than days, etc., within minutes perhaps, with the technology and so many other things, but he'll be given supernatural powers as well. So the Messenger ﷺ mentions he will travel the entire earth and enter every single city. This is what he will do. Whether that's through media, through satellite, or through in person, etc., we know that he will enter every single city and he will travel the entire earth. But he will only live for how many days? For 40 days. This has been foretold by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his 40 days, one day will be like a year, and one day will be like a month, and then one day will be like a week, and the remaining days will be like the normal days that we have here. So if you take away one day for a year, one day for a month, and one day for a week, that's three. So the remaining 37 days will be like we have here. But these first three will be like a year, 1 year, and 1 month, and 1 week, and then the remaining 37 days. So we know exactly how long he will live here on earth. But within those 40 days, you could say, he will cause complete havoc and destruction wherever he goes, and he'll be testing the iman of all of those people. And when the Dajjal comes, the Prophet ﷺ has informed us that when he comes, he will come from the east, not from the north or the south or the west. He will come specifically from the east. And when he comes, he will have an army and followers of 70,000 Jews of Asfahan. And this is mentioned specifically in the Ahadith. 70,000 Jews of Asfahan. And they will all think that he is the Messiah. He is the true Savior. He is the one who's going to go back to Al-Quds. And he's going to build the Temple of Solomon. And he will give the leadership and dominion to all the Jews. And the majority of his followers will be Jews at that time. Jews will follow him, Christians will follow him, and other people as well will follow him, and they will go with him. With what particular purpose? To rebuild the third temple of Solomon. This is who the Dajjal is. But look at how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala, do anybody know where Isfahan is? In modern day Iran, yes, in modern day Iran. So this is where he will emerge. Maybe now in centuries or many, many centuries, but when he emerges from there, he will have 70,000 Jews following him from Isfahan, from Isfahan, 70,000 Jews. Look at how the Prophet ﷺ describes him. He will travel like rain that is driven by wind. Do you know how the rain is pushed and it goes really, really far? When there's a tornado or a storm and it travels vast distances. This is how he will travel like the rain throughout the entire world like the wind. And he will approach a community and he will invite them to accept his divinity. I believe in me, I am God. That's what he will say. They will believe in him and they will respond to his call. They will take iman in him. He will then order the sky to rain, and consequently the sky will rain. Whether this is through manipulation of, obviously, through technology, or whether how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the ability. Because remember, he will be part of the shaitan. The shaitan. So he will be able to manipulate the scenario, and then the rain will come. And when he says, look, I will bring rain, people will believe in him and say, oh, he must be a god. No, he can bring rain. He will give an order to the earth to bring forth all of its produce, food, water, drinks, treasures, everything, and the earth will bring it forward. It won't be the earth, it will be the shaitan digging it all out, all of the shayateen bringing it forward. And because when people see all of this, people who don't only see with the eye rather than the heart and the soul, when people just see this, they will say, oh, he must be a god. Look at what he's doing. This is not possible. He's bringing rain, he's bringing food and water and treasures. He must be a god. We have to follow him. But then he will go to another community and he will invite them. However, they will reject his claim to divinity. He will go to true Muslims, true people of Tawheed and Iman. And then he will leave them and they will end up being afflicted with drought. All of their wealth will be gone from their hands, but they will have their iman and they will actually be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they'll be given Jannah. Why? Because they did not sell their iman for the wealth of the dunya. And this is why Dajjal is so important for us as Muslims, because it teaches us an important lesson that no matter what may come to you in your life, for you to compromise your deen, for you to sell your deen or your iman, no matter who comes and what they offer you, because now countries are offering other countries, we'll give you this much money, you stay quiet. We'll give you this much ammunition, you don't do this. And they are selling their iman, they are selling their Muslim brothers and sisters, and they are staying quiet. And they are willing to break the laws, it doesn't matter to them. These people, they will know he's the Dajjal. They will recognize him from his description, and they will not believe in him. As a result, they will suffer. But they know that they have saved their iman, and as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them Jannah. But the other people who believed him and worshipped him, even though it looked like they have all of the treasures of the dunya, they will actually only be going into the fire of hell, because there is only one worthy of worship, which is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will pass by a land which will be in complete ruins, Dajjal, and he will say to it, bring forth your treasures. And then the treasures will come out and follow him like a swarm of bees. This is how much supernatural power that he will be given, and he will use the shayateen, etc. Then he will call a man brimming with youth and strike him with a sword. This is no ordinary thing. Look at how clear the description is. A man, completely youthful, and he will strike him with her sword, and he will cut him into two pieces, and each piece will be as far as the other as a target is from an archer. Perhaps from there to here, perhaps 100 meters or more. And then he will summon both pieces to come together, and then that man will be laughing and happy again. He will say to people, look, I cut this man into two. I separated him so you can see there's nothing in between him. Now I put him back together. I am your God. I am your Lord. But it will all be a deception. Why? Because the Dajjal means to deceive, to lie. And it will actually be the shayateen. Because remember, shaitan are made out of smokeless fire, and they can impersonate, and they can come into human form, and they will come, they will do all of this trickery, and then the people will think these are human beings, but actually no, they're just the shayateen, and they will be deceiving people. And those who follow him will be following the fire of hell, and those who reject him and stay strong in their iman and their faith will be following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet alayhi wasallam has mentioned clearly that there is no greater fitna, no greater calamity than the Dajjal upon my ummah. More than anything else, the greatest calamity is the Dajjal. He will convince people with his words, and he will convince people with his actions. He will make you doubt, and he will make you leave your faith. A person in the time of the Dajjal will wake up as a believer in the morning, and by the evening, you'll be a disbeliever. This is how fast, you know, his fitna and corruption will spread throughout the world, and people will sell their religion for a few material gains of the world, but the true Muslims will not sell anything. This is how he is described by the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He'll be a short young man. He will have a ruddy complexion. He will have extremely thick and coarse curly hair. And he'll have a very, very wide forehead. And he'll have a very broad upper chest. And his legs will be wide apart. You know, similar to rickets, when the legs are slightly inwards, this is how his legs will be. He'll have a wide chest, wide forehead, legs wide apart, and his right eye will be cloudy, grey, with a cataract, bulging like a grape. It will be closed, it will be blind, it will be defective, and it will be like a floating grape. And his other eye, his left eye, will have a little piece of meat that will go all the way from his eye to the side of his nose. And on his forehead right there, there will be the letters of Kaf, Fa and Ra, which means Kafir. And every literate and illiterate Muslim, true Muslim, will be able to see it and be able to read it and understand it. But just because you see a sign doesn't necessarily mean that you will believe in that sign and follow that sign. How many of us see the signs all around us? How many of us see the signs within us? See the signs in the Quran, see the signs in our deen, like the example I gave you of alcohol, of zina, and so many other things. We know all of these signs. How many of us actually following it and applying it? So these Muslims will see it, and they will see his eye, they will see his stature, they will see everything, they will see all the signs. Some will believe in him, and the true Muslims will not believe in him, because they know they need to protect their iman. And this Dajjal, he will eat and he will sleep and he will drink like every other human being, but he will not be divine in any way, and he will be sterile, he will not have any children born to him whatsoever. This is how the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly explains who Dajjal is. We need to understand who he is. We need to inform our children as well. We need to understand who Isa alayhi salam is and who Imam Mahdi is as well. So this is the stage that I was trying to get back to you, that the three places that we really need to focus on in our lifetime is Masjid al-Nabawi, is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem in Palestine. Dajjal will never ever be able to enter into these three sacred places, neither in Medina or Makkah or in Bayt al-Maqdis. Why? There will be angels guarding all of Medina and all of Makkah and also all of Jerusalem. And every time he tries to enter it, the angels will have their swords unsheathed, like out. And they'll be ready, Adha Sayyidina will sort you out. And he'll be able to see them. And he will not go anywhere near Makkah or anywhere near Medina, but he will try and attempt to enter into Bayt al-Maqdis, which is where he comes to the door to enter into Jerusalem. So Dajjal will stand outside Medina, and when he goes to Medina, he will try to go to Medina, he will try to go to Makkah and to obviously Jerusalem as well. But when he goes there to Medina, all of the hypocrites of Medina will come out and they will follow him. So just because you live in Makkah or Medina or Bayt al-Maqdis doesn't mean you're protected and you're sound. What matters is your heart. What matters is your amal, your actions, and how close you are and how practicing you are of your faith. That's what matters more than anything else, rather than the place that you are in. Your actions dictate whether you will be saved or whether you'll be damned. So the hypocrites will come out of Medina and they will follow Dajjal. And a large number of Jews, as I mentioned already, from Isfahan and other places throughout the world, and disbelievers and Christians, they will all follow him towards where? Towards Al-Quds, towards Masjid Al-Aqsa, towards Jerusalem. So this is the scene I'm trying to bring you towards of Imam Mahdi. He comes first, Dajjal emerges. After Dajjal emerges, then Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, it descends from the heavens, and this is when the whole scenario then unfolds. So Isa alayhi salam, remember, when he descends in Damascus. Then he makes his way all the way to Bayt al-Maqdis, and he goes and he prays behind Imam Mahdi, and they are there, the caliphate of Islam is there, and Muslims are there, and it's prosperous. Isa alayhi salam will already be with Muslims in Jerusalem. Isa alayhi salam will be the one to open the gates of Jerusalem, because the Dajjal will be coming with his army, and all of his followers and people who follow and believe him to be God and believe him to be the true Savior. When Isa al-Islam will open the gates of Jerusalem, the Dajjal will be waiting behind the door. He doesn't know that Isa al-Islam is there, but he's thinking, I'm going in you know, Jerusalem now. I've got all of my followers, all these people believe in me, they follow me, they think I'm a god. We will enter, we will annihilate and destroy everything, and we will rule the world. So he doesn't know Isa al-Islam has descended. When Isa al-Islam opens the gates of Jerusalem and the Dajjal sees him, as soon as he sees him, he runs away. He runs away because he knows that this is the reality now, that he cannot face Isa al-Islam. Why? Because he is Al-Masih As-Sadiq. He is the true Messiah, the true Savior, the true protector sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal, the false and the lying and the deceiving one. So what does he do? He runs away. As soon as he starts to run away, he begins to melt. And this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Isa al-Islam pursues him and he runs after him and he takes out his weapon, whether it's a sword, whatever it is, we don't know. But he takes out his weapon and he kills and he strikes the Dajjal. After he strikes him, he throws his sword or the weapon to all of the followers of the Dajjal. And he says, look, if he was your God, why does he have blood? God should not have blood. God should not be wounded. God should not die. God should not bleed. Then he shows the blood to all of the followers of the Dajjal at that time. He says, this is the reality, and you have been following somebody who is false, somebody who is not God, somebody who is a liar and who is a deceiver. So this is how it comes through the culmination of Imam Mahdi. Remember Rome and Muslim Empire coming together, and then from that the fraction, and then Imam Mahdi becoming the caliphate, Khalifa, and then Muslims coming into Palestine in the Khilafah, and the Dajjal coming, and then Isa al-Islam coming, and then when he tries to enter in Al-Quds, Isa al-Islam is there at the gates, and then he strikes him, and then he kills him. And the Christians who are there, they repent, because they see the true Masih. They see Isa alayhi salam, and they repent, they do tawbah, they do istighfar, and at that time, this is when the battle is over. After this final battle, then there will be years upon years of peace, of justice, of goodness and prosperity. So before ease comes, we have to go through the hardship. We have to go through the difficulties. It may be in centuries to come, it may be in thousands and thousands of years to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but we do know that this is how the events will transpire. And we will be tested. Whether our iman is strong or weak will dictate whether we follow the Dajjal or follow Mahdi, Imam Mahdi, or whether we follow Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. But after they see the reality, the Christians, they do repent and they follow Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. The battle is over, and then there is abundant peace and justice and goodness and prosperity throughout the world. And then the Islamic rule under Imam Mahdi lasts for 7 years. How many years? 7 years. Imam Mahdi rules as the Khalifa. Imam Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam, then they travel the world and they meet all of those people who refuse to believe in the Dajjal, and Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam then gives them glad tidings of Jannah because they remain strong on their iman and they refuse at the Dajjal. Imam Mahdi, he rules for 7 years on earth, and there's abundant amount of wealth, economic stability and equality, and there's absolutely no poverty remaining on the entire face of the earth. So much so that the tax is completely abolished. There's no more tax in the Islamic world. There's no more jizya in the Islamic world where non-Muslims have to pay jizya for their protection. All taxes removed, all jizya is removed. Why? Because there is no more poor people left in the world. The world is so prosperous, so equal, that everybody is living a happy, joyful life, almost like Jannah on earth. And the faithful Muslims, they receive the glad tidings from Sayyidina Isa al-Islam. But how long does this last? 7 years. Remember, talked about it last week as well. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ مُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Everything doesn't stay the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alternates from good to bad, from easy, ease to hardship, etc. So again, we may be going through difficulty now, but with Imam Mahdi and Isa al-Islam, we will prosper and triumph, and the Khilafah will be there. But then, this will also come to an end as well. After Isa alayhi salam, kills the Dajjal, he will break the cross, he will kill the pig, and he will remove and abolish the jizya. There will be so much peace and safety. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, look at how much safety. Try to imagine this. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam mentions that there will be so much safety that the lions will graze with camels. This is how even the animals will coexist with one another. They will graze with the camels, and the leopards will graze with cows, and the wolves will graze with sheep. Have you ever seen a wolf and a sheep together? But this is how much sukoon and barakah and peace there will be on earth, that even these animals will coexist with each other in peace. And a child will play with snakes, that they will not be harmed by the snakes whatsoever. This is how much balance there will be between humans and nature and the world and society that we live in after the killing of Dajjal, and prosperity spreading throughout the entire world by Imam Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam. But then, as I mentioned, after 7 years, it will not stay as it is. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam that Juj and Majuj, you know, Ya'juj wa Ma'juj in the Quran, you read it in Surah Al-Kahf as well, that they have arrived. They descend from the hills because they are currently trapped by Zulqarnain. Remember, if you read Surah Al-Kahf, and they will emerge as well. So a great another trial and fitna as well. And they will spread all over the world, and they will cause utter havoc and destruction. For those people who've watched their share of Lord of the Rings or any other kind of, you know, I Am Legend or anything else, you've seen how society changes, how people change, and how they become this vicious zombies, etc. So just imagine that and multiply that by 1,000 times. But Juj and Majuj, they will come from the hills, from the mountains, and they will spread throughout the world, and they will cause utter havoc and destruction wherever they go. They will descend from every single slope. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions all of the mountains that you can think of, they go and they spread everywhere. And the first of them, this is how much there will be in terms of sheer quantity. The first of them will pass the Sea of Tiberias, which is located in the Jordan Great Rift Valley, and drink all of the water of the sea. This is how vicious they will be, how much thirst that they will have, how they will quench it. They will drink an entire sea. The first of them will drink it. By the time the last of Juj and Majuj arrive, they'll say, where's the water? And they'll say, there used to be water here once upon a time. This is how they will consume everything. Do you know how there is, you know, a locust which completely eats entire crops? These will come, they will eat everything, and they will, as they pass, all plantation, all life, all animals, all stock, everything that is living, they will completely devour and completely annihilate it and destroy it. This is how much destruction the Juj and Majuj will cause after the 7 years of prosperity in the reign of Imam Mahdi. So Isa alayhi salam will be informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isa alayhi salam, and then, because then Imam Mahdi passes away. Okay, Imam Mahdi passes away, and then Isa alayhi salam continues, and Isa alayhi salam and his companions, they will go and besiege Juj and Majuj. They'll try to contain them, and when they try to contain them between valleys, then Isa alayhi salam and his followers, the companions, the Muslim Ummah, they will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result of their sincere prayer, Allah azza wa jal will send worms into the necks of Juj and Majuj, which will eat them in from the inside. So you can imagine like a disease or a virus which will completely kill them and destroy them from the inside, and as a result, all of them die at one given moment. This is how they will be destroyed. So Isa alayhi salam and his companions then descend to the ground, and they will not find even the space of a hand span that will not be filled with the decayed bodies and the stench of Juj and Majuj. Just imagine, or you know, Resident Evil and all of the zombie and apocalyptic films that you've seen, that and multiply that, this is how they will be, their stench and everything, and they will be consumed by worms. When Isa alayhi salam descends, you will see this, and then Isa alayhi salam again will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah azza wa jal will send birds that resemble this camel here. This is a Bactrian camel. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send birds that will look like these camels, and they will come and they will carry the bodies away of all of Juj and Majuj and dispose of them, whether it's in some mountain, whether it's in the sea, we don't know, Allahu A'lam, but we know that this is how they will come, and they will be completely taken away. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a rain, such a powerful and cleansing rain, that there will be no house on earth that will be sheltered from this rain, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be washing away the entire earth and take away all of the stench and all of the germs and the remnants of Juj and Majuj, and the earth will be left like a mirror, i.e. it will be shining, and the earth will then be told, bring forth your fruits and restore your blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, that prosperity and that beauty will return back to earth after Juj and Majuj. So there is, you know, going up and having some stability, and then there's complete destruction, annihilation, and then starting back up from the bottom again by the Muslims. So these are the events that will take place, but the 10 major ones that I want you to focus on for today that we discussed is the earth sinking and everything in the east will be swallowed. This is one of the major signs. And then the earth that will sink and swallow all of the west, or perhaps majority of the west, whether that's countries or continents or certain areas or armies. But these three major events in the east, in the west and in Arabia will take place, where the earth will swallow up substantial amount of land, of civilization or armies. These three things will take place. And there will be a great smoke. And the smoke will not be isolated to a particular area. The smoke will cover the entire earth. This is how great that smoke will be. Whether that's an atomic bomb and everybody's letting off their atomic bombs and it covers the entire earth, or some other incident that takes place, but there will be a great smoke that covers the entire earth. Imam Mahdi, as you know, will come. The Dajjal will come, Isa alayhi salam will come, Juj and Majuj will come, and then after Juj and Majuj, there will be a beast, Dabatul Ard, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. It will come from the earth will split, and this beast will come out, and it will speak to the humans, and it will divide the humans up into two categories, those of Jannah and those of Jahannam. And after that, there will be a supernatural fire that will encompass all of Yemen. This is how great that fire will be. And this fire will cause then people to drive them all to the place of judgment. And we know the place of judgment is in Mina and Arafah, where people go towards, obviously, recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the days of Hajj. And after that, one of the final signs will be when the sun will rise in the west. At the moment, it rises in the east, but there will be a day where the sun will rise in the west. When that time comes, then know that the hour is immediately upon us, and there is no time for you to repent, because it will be too late, because it's one of the major signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the earth, although it's spinning in this particular way, science is already telling us that there will be a time where the earth will spin the opposite direction. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us the rising of the sun in the west. And just a few more things that I want to quickly share with you, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala mentioned that an Ethiopian king, he will come and he will destroy the Kaaba brick by brick. So if you think about all of these events, Imam Mahdi, Dajjal, Isa, Juj and Majud, the beast, and then the fire in Yemen and people being killed and annihilated, etc. And what will remain only on earth are just the non-Muslims, because all of the Muslims will have been slowly taken away by Allah Azza wa Jal. And there will be no Muslims to protect the Kaaba. This is why the king from Ethiopia will come, and he will not just, you know, throw a bomb at it or a boulder at the Kaaba. Big brick by brick, he will dismantle the entire Kaaba, and nobody will be able to say or do anything, because there will be no more Muslims left on earth. And then people again after this will begin to worship Allat and Uzza. And if you remember the history of the Islam, and you know, the Quraysh at the beginning always used to worship Lat and Uzza, the pagan gods of the Arabs. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a breeze, and in that breeze all of the believers will die peacefully, and the non-believers will remain alive, and the world at that point will then be ready for the final trumpet, which will be blown by Sayyidina Israfil alayhi salam. So these are some of the major signs towards the end of time. When they will come, how they will come, it doesn't matter to us. What matters is whether we are prepared or not, and what we are doing to protect our iman and our children. And we know that this reality, this inevitable thing, will happen perhaps in this generation or in future generations to come. But we need to inform our children and make sure that their iman is strong and they remain steadfast in all of these scenarios and situations. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the fitna of Dajjal, protect us from the fitna of Juj and Majuj, protect our iman and strengthen our iman, and reassure ourselves and our brothers and sisters that the Khilafah will return to Palestine and Jerusalem. Muslims will be victorious and they will triumph. Imam Mahdi will come, Sayyidina Isa al-Islam will come, and inshaAllah al-Aziz, the true people will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and falsehood will perish insha'Allah, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant us all a great reward insha'Allah in the hereafter. Jazakum Allah khaira. Thanks so much for joining me in all of these series. I've given three QR codes here. The ones in the corner are for today in PowerPoint and also in PDF form, but the one in the middle at the bottom, if you scan that, you'll get all of the presentations that we've done, the link to that on the mosque website, the audios, the files, and I've also added more information and other files as well. So this is very, very beneficial, the one in the middle. Please do link, obviously scan that and share that with your family and friends, inshallah. I'll also be uploading it to the forums and on showing it on Jummah as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Jazakumullahu khairan.